Y'all, what's going on? It's Chase B, and I'm here on ETC's Thread to tell you guys about Boardroom's newest show. It's called Ux Money, hosted by yours truly. You know, we like to talk to athletes, artists, whoever, about music, food, sports, lifestyle, fashion, whatever. And today's next guest is none other than the biggest boss, the champ is here. Mr. Kevin Durant is in the building. So make sure you follow Boardroom on Instagram, YouTube, and everything else to follow up on new episodes.
We on Call of Duty heavily right now. You got gaming. That's what Book do. He run with the real pros, and you get the feel for how they. Yeah, you pick up how they play. I'm just playing with the homies who just is probably just a little bit better than me.
Getting dubs though.
Getting dubs. Yeah. Getting damage.
Buying the homies back, doing all that. Right. That'd be the best feeling in the world.
The best. I jump out the window with a pizza box. I'd be scared as hell.
Yeah, word. Right. All right, man. Ox Money back with another one. This is not your average show, though. The champ is here. Boss man is here. You know what? I'm going to introduce him like this. You know what? Because this is a special episode because between the two of us, right? The two guys sitting right here. Two NBA championship rings, two finals MVPs, a regular season MVP. We got 14-time All-Star, two-time All-Star Game MVP, Rookie of the Year, six-time All-NBA First Team, scoring champ, member of the 50-40-90 Club twice, which is crazy. Did you know that?
Yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah. Twice is crazy. McDonald's All-American Game MVP, FIBA World Championship MVP, and a three-time Olympic gold medalist. Between the two of us, you know what I'm saying?
We're going to split all that. We can split all that.
Yeah, or, and I got a couple BT Best DJ of the Year nominations. I never won that motherfucker. Been nominated.
It's on the way.
It's on the way. We got KD here, bro. How you feeling?
Man.
Right. Round of applause.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on, man.
So, bro, how you? Arizona's beautiful, man.
Man, you see this? Like, man, you can't beat this, man.
Yeah. So how do you feel about just, even with shows like these, you know, obviously this is the best one, but
for sure.
Just how do you feel about just this whole content era in general and like what you want to contribute to it? Because, you know, sometimes it can get a little messy, a little foggy, you know, but I feel like it's up to us to really kind of uphold a standard of content. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it is an oversaturated market, you know. Everybody is speaking up on what they,
right?
You know, they're giving their opinions on I really like it because the ones that actually are going through these experiences are telling people, you know, what they're going through in real time. And there's also a lot of people who've never been through that we've been through, but got the most to say about it.
You know,
those are the people that I try to stay away from and hear from the real people who are going through these experiences. Because it's good to let somebody know, you know, a younger generation who's trying to do the same thing we're doing.
Right.
What's ahead, you know what I mean? I wish we'd have had more content like this as we was coming up just to kind of help us guide through our, you know, through this journey, you know what I'm saying? So it's definitely pros and cons to it, but the real ones that's speaking up, I encourage them to do it more.
Exactly. So speaking up, I know you saw our friend Sheck and Balo.
I seen that.
And what they had to say.
And I comment on that. Sheck and Balo said they could cook dudes on
in the league, yeah.
The bottom seven on every roster.
Everybody Robinson, 30.
I'm not going to lie. I'll give Bakuzi 30.
Whoa. They were dribbling back there like that. Carl Havlicek, 30. Jerry West, I love you. I'll give you 30.
Oh, Uncle Jerry.
Get the f*** out of here. First of all, Sheck, he used to do it every day. If you don't do it every day, please don't come saying that you can defend or score on an NBA player. Right. He does it every day. Right. Don't disrespect the craft. So, Sheck, Balo, man, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, though. I really do think I could give Bakuzi a couple buckets.
That's
though.
Crazy.
I don't know. That style
75-year-old, 80-year-old Bakuzi probably might. He still knows
he's buckets. That's crazy. So, all right, with that being said, there are obviously entertainers that can hoop, though.
It is. So, it is a few.
Like, you know, you got Quay, Chris Brown, Dave East, obviously, you know, all these guys. If you could put together a starting five of entertainers on a basketball team, who would you have? Yeah, you can, all time, Master P.
Let me see. Gotta go Master P, because he actually played in an NBA game, preseason, but it was an NBA game.
Mm-hmm.
I go Master P. Chris Brown for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an athletic freak.
Right.
He got that bow leg. When you see, this the indicator for good athletes. Mm-hmm. When they walking with
the pigeon toe,
and they walking on their toes, they big toe, athletes. Chris Brown walks on his big toes. Mm-hmm. He can do everything.
Right.
Taking Chris Brown. This is an underrated pick. Roddy Rebel.
Oh, I haven't hooped with him before. I never hooped with him before.
He got the instincts that I like. I seen him at Chris Brinkley on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just the clips because nobody missing that gym.
And that's all you get. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, lethal shooter these gyms. Nobody missing them.
Nobody missing them, but I like his movements. Mm-hmm. Roddy Rebel, my third.
That had indications of real hooper activity.
Yeah. Davies for sure. 6'6". He actually grew up playing in the same programs as Davies.
Right.
And I'm going to go Cole.
J. Cole. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I had to go Cole because he actually worked out, played in the league. And, you know, a lot of these dudes don't even – never ran full speed in their life. You know what I'm saying?
So, unfortunately, Shaq didn't make the team.
I'm not taking Shaq, especially for how he disrespected the game coming on the airwaves saying like that.
So, Shaq, man, you watching this, bro. You got some shit to prove.
You got to audition for this
thing. For real. So, let's get into music, bro, because obviously, you know, you're more than involved in the music industry and, you know, just your preferences. Interesting question. Has anyone's, like, live performance on stage actually, like, kind of changed your mentality or, like, going into an actual game?
Or how you approach it? There's a few guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, Travis. Right. I done seen.
It's a football game with him every show. Yeah.
Every show. I done probably been at 20, 30 shows, it feel like. I lost count. And I know all the songs every time I go, but every time it's a different vibe. You know what I'm saying? It's like, obviously different cities and stuff, but like, he bring that level of intensity every show.
The
consistency with it is just unmatched. And it's like, that's how I try to approach my craft too.
Right.
Just staying consistent with my energy every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously seeing Drake show is just... it's just the biggest, you know what I'm
saying? Right, just hits on hits.
When I went to a Travis show in Cleveland, and I was leaving, and I was outside. I was just looking at the people that was leaving and was walking. Everybody had on Travis merch. Everybody
locked in.
It felt like I was leaving an NBA game.
Right.
I was like, damn, this is crazy how one dude can sell out an arena and had this many supporters.
Mm.
And it's like, man, I had a game the next day, and I really locked in because I'm like, man, this. People here really, if they spend time to come watch this game, like, they want to see a show.
No,
you know
sure,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, those artists really inspire me. They inspire all athletes to do what we do.
So, what moment of your life and what, is there a particular song or something that just sparked your whole interest in making music, listening to music, how you even, you know, just consume music altogether? Was there, like, a certain point?
Yeah, it was college dropout. It was late registration. Mm-hmm. Those two, like, when Kanye was, like, how he sampled music, I was always intrigued on how they did that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I just I was doing research on how he made beats on YouTube, on the internet, and all that type of stuff. So then I eventually just wanted to try to make beats on my own. So I bought a beat machine like 2009. So I just started building from there. But it was just Kanye just really, really got me into, you know, trying to understand what production mean and how he put those sounds together.
Right. What producers really influence? Because I hear even the music that you do make, I hear like a lot of like Dilla inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of samples.
Yeah, like Madlib, Dilla, Alchemist.
Right.
Obviously Ye. 40, those sounds just like
timeless.
Yeah, it's just and you could tell that they put a lot of time and effort into what they're doing. Every drop is strategic, but they don't just throw music out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every beat is they consistent in their work, and you see that across the board with all of the top artists who've been around for that long.
Exactly,
they stay consistent with what they do, and they also got an open mind and like. To new ideas too, you know, from other people. They collab with a lot of other people too.
Right.
So that's inspiring to me.
Yeah. Let's talk about the sneaker pack, because that's kind of was your avenue to get your platform into, you know, to the more the music industry side. And I think it was the 15 you did with Boy Wonder and Knife Wonder and Cardo.
Yep.
So how did that come about? And what made you want to do that?
I just from a love of music, I wanted those. I know those dudes are creative outside of music, so I wanted to get them inside the Nike building as well. To, you know, just to create what they wanted to. I'm sure they always wanted to create a shoe.
Exactly.
You know, so I felt that would be cool for them as well. But just to highlight you know, the dudes that don't really get too much credit for the music that's being made out here. Producers, DJs, a lot of these dudes get overshadowed.
Unsung heroes, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And they create a lot of the stuff that change people's thought processes, enlightens them, change their mindset on stuff, and it's from that, from the frequencies and the music these dudes create. And so I just wanted to highlight that as well. And those dudes, Cardo, Boy Wonder, Ninth, they all legendary producers in the game. So I wanted to, you know, make it an elite group of people as well. So the next one we got coming on is KD. We missed this year, so the KD 17. We got three more producers coming. I should say it. I mean, we got Bink,
Fire,
Alchemist, and Metro on the next pack, and
for the 17.
Yeah, for the 17. So three dudes who I respect, I love listening to their shit over and over again. So I want to just keep it going every shoe. You know, try and just find three new producers every shoe and highlight them.
Yeah, we got Toy Sneakers now.
Oh yeah,
you got a lot of those. A lot of legendary ones. A lot of legendary colorways. My favorite, I'll probably say, is probably the What the KD 6, I think, is probably my favorite one.
Damn.
Do you have a favorite, like, all-time colorways, or just kind of like a timing thing?
See, my favorite changed a lot, but for now, it got to be KD 4.
Can't want you to say 4 so bad.
You know, I'm about to just stop saying the 4 because I say that every time. So
That's the grand slam right there.
What I want to come back out, though, I want to retro the KD 2s. I don't know if y'all.
You're right.
We're going to just pop those up on the.
On the ski.
Yeah. KD 2 scoring titles as a strap over them. I want them joints to come back out again. I think I'm going to retro them joints.
Legendary.
But those probably my underrated joints right there.
Ken, what's your favorite? You said
cream sickles.
Actually, word, right?
All star game.
The threes.
I think it was twos or threes. The high top ones. It was like a cream sickle colorway.
Orange. Yeah, them the twos. Yeah. Those two. Yeah.
Those started off your KD knows how to do sneakers.
And like the collectors. Yeah, item. Like this is not a basketball shoe anymore.
Because that era, like that, you Bron. And I believe it was like Kyrie.
Y'all know, it was Kobe. It was me, Bron, and Kobe that started.
Like, literally, y'all were really taking over.
I think they were trying to shift people's thinking from, all right, now, we done showed you so many Jordans. Now, we got three current signature athletes dropping shoes. So, we started doing a lot of shit together. Like, the pack, like, the we did a Orlando 2012 All-Star Game, we did the Galaxy Pack together. Me, Bron, Cope. So we started doing
Zell has those together. On right now, I think, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, but, yeah, I don't think nobody can ever compete with the Jumpman, but we was trying to build something, and that was around that time we started using crazier colors. The league started letting us wear the shoes, because before, we couldn't wear nothing.
You had to be in the colorway of the uniform.
Yeah,
and
we
all
had
that.
Only wear uniform.
That shit was dry. I'm not
trash.
It was dry, bro.
And I would have shoes that I'm like, I couldn't wear Nerfs in a game. I couldn't wear Weathermans.
That dry.
Pearls. I couldn't wear none of those in a game. And those would it'd hit more if I play in them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So nowadays you can bring all that shit back, and then you can still wear it on the court.
Yeah. So if Kevin Durant could make an album, what – I don't want to say – obviously I wouldn't want a whole track list, but what would be some key collaborations that you would want on your album?
Yeah. Alchemist producing with a mix of, like, Cardo, Ford. Like, all my favorite producers for one, then just – guest verses, like I just want a 16 from somebody.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want I don't want you just give me a song and I'll put my verse on it. I want it to still be my vibe and you come into my world.
Exactly.
So somebody, obviously Drake, Future, those two, and then I mean just my big the threes guys, like Travis, like
any like younger slept on kids that you think you would want?
Baby Drill.
Baby Drill hard.
Baby Drill.
Yeah.
With V's,
right? Yep.
I would definitely have V's. V's just likable. He's just likable. I just like him, man. Just great energy.
Great verses, also.
Yeah.
Nah. What do you feel about all this like female rap beef that's going on right now? I feel like everybody's kind of
they beefing in female rap with each other.
It's like, a lot of bad just, blood with that right now.
That's competitive sports, though, man. They playing a competitive sport, man. If you don't like somebody, you're gonna rap about it and then
move on.
And then if it don't escalate, I mean. It escalates, but it don't have to.
Right.
But I like the competitive sport. I like when these women come on there and actually rap about that they going through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So we kicking out here in Arizona. I see Arizona's a very chill place, very relaxing.
It is, quiet, man.
How do you spend your free time out here? I know there's a lot of video games getting played. A
lot of games. Yeah. We play so much, dog. So when I get a chance to get an off day, I like to just chill in the crib, look at the view, take in the weather, because it's 80, 75 in January, February. Exactly. Like, it's sweet.
It's not like D.C.
Yeah, so I just be relaxing at the crib, man, playing a game. We on Call of Duty heavily right now.
Right.
Like, that's all me and the homies.
What guns you running with right now on the car?
I'm ranking up the... I'm on the BP-50.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Laying down.
I'm on the HRM-9.
HRM-9, that's what I'm on right there. I'm on the HRM-9.
I'm on the Polymot.
The
100-rounder. The TAC Evolver. Mm-hmm. I'm ranking up every... I'm switching guns every game just so I can get my... But... So addicting, bro.
It's addicting, bro. It's tough to get off.
How'd the KD skin come about?
Right.
Just from playing every day, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just hit. And then I went up and played the ones that's out now. I played it early. Mm-hmm. So I went up to the office right around the corner from my house. I'm like, let me go up there and just vibe with them. And they was like, they let me just do a skin, bro. Right. I want to update it too, because I wanted to do the Slim Reaper in there, like. Mm-hmm. With the hood the long with the and I wanted my really my weapon to be the scythe, whatever they call that shit. And I wanted to make me 6'9". They was like, nah, you'll stand out too much. Yeah, I'm like, yo, it'd be a bunch of 6'9" running around in the game. That'd be fire.
Right.
But like, you get killed too easily. I'm like, all right, bet. Mm-hmm. But Book, he is elite.
For real, I haven't run with him yet.
Elite.
We should have that also. We should have
we got to get a private lobby, because you get 40?
Yeah, we got to do private lobby.
I could get 40 dudes to play.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get 50 to 60 dudes to come play in a private lobby. Mm. We should do that and then live and then go to the straight line. Yep. Everybody's streaming. Oh, you want to play the big map?
The big map.
You play the big. Yeah, that's easy to do, bro. I got so many dudes that are.
What's it called? Discord. Put that shit out.
Yep. That'll be fire.
Yeah, I really want to see, because I don't know, because I haven't run with everybody, but who would be like the all-time, like if you're running fours on some big map or resurgence or whatever, who would be like the best four of real Call of Duty players? Who would be like the top four that would actually compete against,
like real play against the pros.
Against the pros, yeah.
It's
I want to see Book. I'm saying, who would be good enough that's not a pro gamer to go against? Who we send out to battle?
Yo, Book is really
elite, I got to see Book play, bro.
He really, he'll get, 16.
Word.
He'll average at least 12 a game. And resurgence.
Yeah, yeah. Ray is damn good, too. Yeah, Ray Corrupted, the photographer, he dropping. I've seen him drop 30 before. Yeah. I think he might be actually pro though.
Do you get that good at that?
I don't know, bro.
See, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what he might be a pro.
You got gaming. That's what Book do. He run with the real pros.
Yeah,
and you get the feel for how they. Yeah, you pick up how they play.
Yeah, man.
I'm just playing with the homies who just is probably just a little bit better than me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just getting dubs though.
Getting dubs.
Getting kills. For cardio.
I'm definitely getting damaged, man.
Buying the homies back, doing all that. Man. I'm out there really contributing.
I'm telling you.
Right. That'd be the best feeling in the world.
The best. I'd be scared as hell.
Pizza box, bro. Get a turn around.
I'd jump out the window with the pizza box. I'd be scared as hell.
Yeah, word, right. Couple more music questions, bro. What city, we were talking about a little bit with the Baby Drills and V's and everything, but what city do you think is consistently making the best music right now?
You gotta still go Atlanta.
At the end of the day.
Atlanta, I mean, they've been at it for what, how long? Let's say 20 years or
easy,
25 years or like every they producing stars. Ever
since, even just like Lil Jon and the whole
Club, you can go back to T.I.'s a little, can go farther, you can go way back to Outkast or Dungeon Family, all that, but recently in this, I want to say 2010 on up, they just been every year stars. And then, but you got other city, Memphis doing their thing right now.
Detroit
a lot, killing it.
I feel like Detroit wave is the last 2-3 years they really.
Detroit, yeah. I feel like Atlanta gonna always have that because they the foundation of the new brand of music that came out around this time.
Right.
But then you got everybody gonna have their time. I feel like every region gonna have their time. I think.
How you feel about the DMV when it comes to music and that whole scene?
And there's a lot of underground rappers I f*** with out there. Mm-hmm. Like, they making music, and they finding their sound, I think, right now.
Right, right.
I think in the matter, and there's a lot of dudes that's locked up, too, that's nice.
Right, right.
And I think that's hard in the music scene. Yeah.
Is Trail locked up? Is that Trail?
He just came home, I think.
Yeah.
But if you spend a year or two in and out of jail, that's just stopping your momentum. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we got a few dudes that's in jail right now, but I think we building a sound in D.C. that's going a few years that's going to click on, and we're going to have our time, too. Right.
You know, I like a lot. I like Foggy Raw a lot. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. Especially just even like his beat selection, like he's chill. He's like more of like a poet.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he just talk. He could talk on a, he don't, yeah, yeah. He say shit that actually matter.
Right, right.
Will Go-Go ever be mainstream?
No, I don't think so. It's an acquired taste, man.
Acquired taste. And you know, a lot of it was based on like covers of other songs.
Exactly.
Like really, raw instruments. That Wale song Bait was like probably the closest that I've. Yeah, that
was, yeah. Wale did the best he could with trying to make it mainstream. Mm-hmm. He did pretty cool.
Even like Pretty Girls too.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Legendary part in that whole movement, Wale, like that first, you know. That first mixtape he had was, it's probably my favorite mixtape ever.
Which
and
one?
More by nothing.
Okay,
so
yeah.
And KD had a part in there that, you know, lives to this day.
So, people still tell me about that.
Yeah.
Got the score check.
Right.
Yeah. I remember going in the studio and recording that, and then Fat Trail walked in, first time at Fat Trail. Mm-hmm. And when he started rapping, I'm like, yo, this is a star. Bro.
Right. Nah, like, for real.
But he just got into so much trouble. Wale got a nice, nice eye for talent.
Right. No, for real. When you look at most superstars' career, like, he's the only one with, like, a Rihanna feature and a Lady Gaga feature. Like, you know, even he was one of Trav's first features. What song was that? Quintana, Wale was on that song. He even embraced me really early. Like, he just knows what's about to happen when it comes to that.
He got a good eye for that shit.
Yeah.
And he started us off, and like he's the biggest we had in the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was carrying that torch for us for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, he still is. Be honest, right. He's still making music.
I remember my first year at Howard. I got like a Facebook message from him, and it was like, "Yo, come to the yard at such and such. We about to shoot the Nike Boots video. All this type of
word.
Shit." Hell yeah! It was literally like a Facebook DM. Yeah, I guess he just sent it to like a whole like Howard whatever chat or whatever. So shout out to Wale, man. He's a good guy, man.
For sure, man. For sure, my boy.
So, real quick, before we get up out of here, we always ask our guests here on Aux Money to put us on the three different things. And it could be food, a book, it could be art. There's a lot of lovely art in this crib. It could be a city. So, just three different things that you think the millions of our viewers would like to see.
Man, get your Apple Vision Pro.
We got to talk about that.
Get your Apple
you been
Vision
using it?
Pro. All the time. Bro. The only reason why I don't got it on all the time, every day, all day, because they don't got all the apps yet.
Right, exactly.
Once they get all the apps converted on there, it's over with. Get your Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah.
It may be a lot, but if you get a chance, man, go to Monaco, south of France.
Yeah.
Sit on the beach, one of the best experiences ever.
My first time going was last year, and that definitely changed my life. I didn't even know shit looked like that.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I didn't know people were living like that.
No, for real.
And get you a gaming crew, man.
Get you a gaming crew, bro. Stay out them streets and get on the game.
Gaming crews, man. When you get us dudes that I've never even seen before, but we talk and vibe every day on just
never
the game.
Even seen them
I feel like they my friends now. So when I see them, it's gonna be so much love. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a real community, man. Gaming, man. Get back into it. We all used to game when we was kids, but dudes feel like they just too grown up to play the game. Nah, bro, lock in, bro. If that's three things I could give you right there off the top of the head, is that.
Nah, for real. And, man, these girls, man, get off our backs when it comes to playing the game,
I'm telling
you. Sometimes we just want to chill and play the game, man.
Man,
sometimes.
You can sit right next to me. I got a nice chair right there next to you. Go ahead, get your headphones in, watch your movie while I'm playing the game. When I'm in between games, I can vibe out with you and then go, you know what I mean?
That's my perfect date right there.
That's a perfect date.
That's a perfect date. So yeah, let's. Anybody else got some more questions for Kevin? Man, this has been. Yeah, let's do it.
Can we talk about your rapping history, your rapping future?
Oh my gosh!
Like, you did Scary Hours 3, right? So, if you had a choice between the people in the rap category right now, who would you want to team up to produce another album or like a full length album of somebody?
the artist.
And how did Scary Hours 3 come about? How was that process?
I'll tell you that first. Scary Hours 3, so when Drake made For All the Dogs, he was on tour. So I would go on a couple dates here and there, just vibe with him, talk music, whatever. And after For All the Dogs came out, it was just so much talk around. Like, it wasn't enough rap.
Or right.
How did you feel
about that album, For All the Dogs?
I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I revisited it probably like 6 weeks ago. And yeah, I was like, I might have been tripping the first time I listened.
Because it's...
All his music is like that, really. It aged well.
And it take you a while to truly understand what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And so all the songs sound good, but just the reception, like, yo, you need to rap more. Because he had 8 a.m. on there, which was a rap song, and everybody, and he dropped that first, so people expecting that was with the tone of the album. Mm-hmm. And it went totally different way. And so we was just like, he's like, man, I still feel good. Because he said he was retiring and taking some time off and so I text him. He's like, man, I'm feeling good. I'm still writing. I'm still listening to beats. I'm like, what? And like, then he sent me a joint. Mm-hmm. I think it was Red Button he sent me. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, you still rapping? Like, you still got this
what to say? Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I think I want to hit him with like 4 or 5 songs. I'm like, you should do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I was getting pissed off just from hearing people critique the album as soon as it came out. I'm like, you ain't even listened to it all the way through yet. You know what I'm saying? So, and I wanted him to just go straight at people's head with the rap. No hooks, none of that. No singing, none of that. Just straight bars.
Conductor beats.
And he was feeling the same way. So I just, more than anything, I just encouraged him to lean into what he was feeling already. Mm. And
definitely worked out.
It worked out perfect.
It worked out.
Perfect. And then if I had any artist, my favorite probably right now is Bodie James.
Mm. He's had a long career, bro. I remember even just listening to him with like the Chuck English vibe, you know, just that whole.
Yeah. I mean, he's an outstanding, you know, like, rapper. Like, just, he feel like he mastered the craft of rapping. Mm. So if I can sit down in a studio from the ground up with anybody, just making songs, it'd probably be him right now.
That might have to happen, man. I'm not gonna lie. That would be legendary.
That would be, I might need to hit him up.
And yeah. See
if I could just come at least watch and vibe out, you know?
I guess like going back to your feature and the reception you got from your fans.
Oh yeah. Back to the song. Yeah. How you feel? Because I was gonna play it at the All Star brunch. Yeah, he was like, man, chill. But this shit was dope though.
Yeah, I mean, it's still. I mean, cause me and Styli cool. I talk to Styli all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like.
So when did y'all record that?
I want to say 2023.
Okay.
So last summer, mm-hmm. I think. No, 2 summers ago, 2022, and. I was just like, we've been chopping it up every day in group chats, talking hoop, music, all that all the time. And I sent him a joint that I did just around the studio one day.
Yeah.
And he liked that. And he was like, yo, get on a joint with me. I'm like, all right. I'm rapping right now. Like, shot I got a couple bars, you know what I'm saying, in the phone. So I do it. Mm. And he was like, he want to shoot a video for it. We did that on the road. I was on the road in New York. We played, the night before, we played Brooklyn. Mm. Did that 20 minutes at the crib.
Right.
And the reception was fine. I didn't know how people were going to take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't expecting much, but everybody.
So how you feel about it now? Is it like just chill, like don't really talk about that thing? Or is it like, do you want people to know and receive more of your music after that?
I mean, I'm not really tripping. Like, if people, you know, like it or not, like, I just like doing it. And I Styli, and if he wanted to put it out, it was cool.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to be a rapper though.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm not
trying to be known as like, yo, KD can rap too. Like, you know, everybody been hitting me though. Just get on joint stuff.
Yeah, that's
so it's cool. Like some shit you can't even help. I'm just in it, I guess. But I'm not trying to be no rapper. I'm not trying to put out my own shit. I ain't trying to make no album for myself. But if I do verses for the homies and they want to put it out on their I don't mind.
So the other end of the question, I know we talked about rappers that hoop. Who do you think are the best hoopers that rap? Like, I know, like, Miles Bridges.
Miles, it's Dame for sure, number one, I think, because he just practiced more.
Right.
He nice at it. He actually got, 6-7 albums out?
Right. You know? He be going crazy. He's dropping, yeah.
He's dropping. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making videos and all types. Yeah. So I would say Dame. Miles is hard, too. He can rap. I ain't really heard too many other dudes in it like
that. I feel like there's a couple.
I'm sure it's so many. Oh, Kay Cunningham rap, too.
Yeah, he rap. Oh, CJ
rap?
CJ rap, bro.
But I'm sure, like,
I got like 12 songs of CJ's on my phone, bro.
It was like four dudes on my team that actually rap too. Like, Josh Okogie rap, DeAndre Ayton rap.
Right.
Yo, I swear at least half the dudes in the league rap, bro.
At some point.
They got studios in their crib and they make music. Yeah. They just probably don't put it out. But Dame probably the best because he moved like a real artist. Yeah.
So what? Is there like not a goal you have lyrically, but like what type of message or just all around theme do you want to have, like when it comes to your verses?
Like just speaking my life and what I'm doing every day. Yeah. Like I want it to be real intimate. I'm a rap, like literally telling you step by step how my day going, what my life is like at that time. Mm-hmm. I want to just be personal to me. I ain't trying to like spread no message of equality or social shit. Yeah, I ain't trying to get into the political social. I'm just really like, if you can relate to my life, you know what I'm saying, then cool. If not, then you don't got to listen to my shit. It's like Currency, I'm inspired. Like Currency, how he rap and what he talk about.
He literally could drop an album every day.
Exactly. They just talk about just real life they going through, even if it's from talking. This motherfucker talking about how he just played a video game and shit. He just smoke weed all day. Like that type of shit.
Exactly.
I want to rap about over chill beats. And if people they do.
So last question, not album, but what is your favorite mixtape ever?
Ooh, Drive 3.
Drive 3, okay.
Gotta be the Drive 3.
Yeah.
Wayne was just
mine is Dedication too. That was like,
man, I was swear when I said Drive 3, I was also thinking Dedication too, because I could just remember walking around campus my freshman year playing that joint in the iPod Nano.
Yeah.
Non-stop, bro. On repeat, bro.
Even Drama did his thing with the, you know, it was.
It was just, and those are some original songs on there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But Draw 3, it was all beats that he took from somebody else.
Right.
So Dedication, man, it's probably a tie between them two.
They're both perfect.
Dedication 2, Draw 3.
Yeah. And then No Ceilings is like.
That's just like the Holy Trinity.
Right. Not Wayne, I'll probably say my favorite mixtape. Man. What's another good one? Honestly, bro, I do like Wale's 100 Miles of Running. It just shaped a lot of like when I first got to Howard, like first got to DC. It just, even just the samples he was using. He had like Daft Punk sample, Crystal Castles sample, all types. So yeah, that's probably my favorite.
Around that time though, everybody like Kush and OJ was.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like mixtape, that's that era of probably top five.
Ross Albert Anastasia EP was hard.
Oh yeah, yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Ross had some Black Mar Mitzvah. Yep. That was fire. Yeah.
Ross is up there for me.
And he's just, you know, he's sparring, he recording, dropping shit.
He definitely.
Good example of how to age in this whole shit.
Yeah, for sure. That matters, right?
Like, nah, for real.
How you age in this shit. You saying, dude, like Killer Mike, I mean, what are you, 40-something years old, been in the game?
Right.
Still making music. I like to see the OGs still making music. And even if they ain't, like, super successful, ain't on the billboards, ain't killing it like they used to, but just still in the craft, still going to the gym every day, I like seeing that shit. Mm.
Your game can change, but at least, you know, you still playing, just switching your methods.
Yeah.
Word up.
Can we give him a DJ pop quiz like you gave Lenny and Dell?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. So, there's a lot of scenarios as a DJ that you can come across where you need to pick certain songs for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, but the whole one about having to go to the bathroom, that was the biggest thing yesterday because I had like 8 margaritas in that joint. I had to go to the restroom. But so we do these DJ scenarios where I ask you a question and you would pick a song based on that scenario.
I've seen this one.
Right.
I've seen this one.
So I'm going to ask you the same one first. If a fight break out, would you either Calm It Down or Egg It On? And then what song would you play?
I would definitely Calm It Down. I own the
good vibes.
It can escalate.
How would you calm it down?
And I would calm it down, and I would go straight into. I feel like you gotta turn that up.
Yeah.
Right after that, I'm going with Chickens Future.
Oh yeah. That's it. I feel like every party you ask me to play that song. For
I'm going with Chicken's Future. I feel like that get people out their seats mm-hmm. and get people into a good mood.
Yeah.
You said you was playing. You would play.
I didn't even answer. So Lenny.
No,
said,
you said. I thought you said you would play Shorty Low.
Okay. Oh yeah. If I needed to. Oh yeah. Like coming back into the. Yeah. So I would like you do some like sample.
Yeah, right. You said you would do that. You would do the original first.
Into that, yeah.
But if you couldn't play outside of that.
Outside of that, just to spark, if there was a fight broken up.
Yeah.
I would.
And you ain't got that. You ain't got that whole mix going right now. You just gotta.
Yeah, I would calm it down just because I personally don't like that shit. It just takes away from. The
right.
Part. Yeah, like I don't want the party to just end. So I would calm it down. I'll play some like. You know I'm a nerd, bro. What's in a sentimental mood? Who? The jazz. How can I not remember who actually? I want to say John Coltrane, but in a sentimental mood of the dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
I'll probably just calm it down and
see. Yeah, you got
some
yeah.
thought provoking. You know yeah. what? Maybe I shouldn't be f-ing this club up right
man,
now.
Man, for real.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn. Did I have too many drinks?
Yeah.
I ain't even got no problem with this thing. Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yes,
yeah,
so I'll do that.
Exactly. I got a scenario. Let's say the dude that opened up for you just totally trash.
Okay. He trash or did he burn me out? Did he like play all the good or he's just not good?
He's just not good. He trying and the crowd just like not even interested in him and then you come on.
Mm-hmm. So what's to signify to people like, hey, there's a good DJ on now?
Yeah, exactly.
I would just go straight hit after that. I'll probably go like.
But which one?
I'll probably go. You know what? Is always working right now is the Drake joint. You Broke My Heart. I'll probably just come in, big anthem horns and all type. Start talking on the mic. I'll probably come in.
Do you cater to all the women?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
All the time though, but you play Sexy Red all the time, like you can't.
Yeah, and obviously, like sometimes just when you work so much, when you DJ so much, it kind of gets repetitive, and it's kind of like it's like all right, you know, like obviously this song is gonna work every time, but I mean you kind of have to, and that's the position of the DJ is to not be selfish and to you know, and you do have to cater to a crowd to a certain extent, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I do, you know, it depends on where. Like obviously I didn't play it last night in the club, like you know. 99% of the time, you're going to play some Sexy Red. That's just what it is. She got it on lock right now. Yeah, you just kind of.
But it'd be some DJs who lean too much into like playing like the mainstream.
It just hit after.
But,
just like the radio. Right,
Megs Thee Stallion and Sexy Red. Like the women like cater to them.
Yeah.
They like to cater to them more so than like, yo, you're some nigga. Want to hear some hard. All right,
and I'm not gonna lie, bro. These girls are different these days, man. A lot of them be wanting to hear that little
baby.
They some gangsters for real. They
listen
rap.
To rappers. Yeah,
they want to stand on couches. And
then I see a DJ. I'm like, bro, they don't even want to hear this. Bro, they put on some hard.
Want to play? Yeah, if they want to hear 42 Doug. And like,
exactly.
They want to stand on couches and rap their.
Exactly.
Yeah, these little gangsters, man. Gotta love them. But little
demons.
Right, little demons, man.
Exactly.
Right. So say last one. Say you're a DJ at a party. And you didn't know Jay-Z was there, right? But he comes to the DJ booth. He's like, all right, stop the music. He gives a whole speech. And he's like, drop my shit, DJ. What song would you play?
But you gotta go, what more can I say?
Oh, that's my favorite one. That's my favorite Jay-Z song of all time.
You gotta drop that right after the Jay-Z speech.
Yeah. I'll go there. That's my favorite song. And then I'll go probably... I feel like You Don't Know it'd be too predictable. You know what? I like Rock Boys a lot. When he comes in with the horn, clearly I just like horns a lot. But he coming just and the winner is Hov and that whole
that is that's the one.
So yeah, I'll go there.
I had a question for you, Chase.
What's that?
So talking about Jay-Z, you had a moment to be on a Jay-Z album.
Oh yeah, man. I still I don't regret what happened, but yeah. So this is this is when me and Trav were both heavy in New York. I didn't officially like live there yet, but we were in New York really heavy, and he got like an email or a text from Hov basically saying like, yo, this is Magna Carta Holy Grail days, and he's like, yo, like basically, I don't want to finish my album until you come and you know and come. So we like, oh, we go up to Jungle City, and it would just have you know had the session whatever Hov there, and Trav pulled out his laptop. First beat he played, I'm talking about he pressed spacebar And it's the first one is Somewhere in America.
Travis right there?
That's the first beat he played off the And I kid you not, bro, this Jay-Z just starts rapping. Whatever the first verse is, how did he start? Shout out to old schools and old rules, all that. He said that, I'm talking about 20 seconds into the beat being played. The whole first verse is what he freestyled. Like, I saw it. I was just like, brother, because I heard that he didn't write shit, but now I saw that he didn't write shit, right? So it got to this one point where he said some shit. Knock, knock, come at your neighbor house. Let me backing out the driveway. Some shit. It had to do with backing out the driveway. And I was just, and I was like, skrr! Or I did just like some ad lib. Like, yeah, fuck with that. And then, so, you know, we ended up doing that. He played like, oh, you know, I got it, all that type of shit. And so the next day he wanted to record Someone in America. And this is my first time ever getting booked at the Darby in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me and asked if I could do it. I was like, yeah. And I'm dead broke at this time. So I was like, bro, I got to go. Whatever money that was paying me back then, I had to go get it. So I told Trav, like, yeah, I can't come to the session today. I got to work. Yeah, whatever. So him and our homie Dozy go back to Jungle City and for them to record that song. And then while he's recording it, he's like, yo, where your homie at with the skirt? Like, I wanted him to do it.
You missed the ad lib.
Bro. That's Trav saying the ad lib on the actual song. But
you came up with the whole shit.
Yeah, bro.
And you was at the Darby.
I was at the Darby, bro. I was trying to perfect my craft, though, man. I was trying to get in there in New York nightlife. But goddamn, if I knew what I know now.
You'd been like, all right, man.
Hell yeah. That was just a great era of New York, really. Just that Darby up and down era. Magna
that was a time,
era.
Man.
That was a time, bro. That I miss all
I had
shit.
Just got with Roc Nation, too, around that time. Yeah. I signed with they sports management. Like, that was a time.
That was a time, bro. New York was golden going there.
People really try to act like they ain't Magna Carta. I fuck with that.
Bro, you know, my shit is Up This World, bro. That song. Don't be good. Be great. That shit.
Hold on.
And he was putting to a lot of, you know, big money. Like, at that point, even, like, a lot of the younger artists, like, even, you know, like, us, that whole, not SoundCloud generation, but, like, right before that, you know, if you came in the game in 2011, 2012, like, we wasn't making any money yet. So listening to that album just seemed like some whole big, you know, it just, it explained what can happen.
Hov was still active.
Exactly.
He was still the best player in the league. You know what I'm saying?
So very much.
He was inspiring everybody with that shit.
And yeah. I mean, you know, I got it. I remember when I first heard that shit, I was just like, bro, this is the best song I've ever heard, bro.
And
Rosé on there, it was perfect. So
we're taking this back like to high school. So I have, you know, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, see a lot of high school players. And I was fortunate enough to actually watch you play in high school.
That's crazy.
And it was in Houston. It was an event called the National Invitation, and Montrose Christian was involved in it.
No, that was Dallas.
That was Dallas.
Dallas.
And I saw y'all play. So, like, in high school, who were, like, there's always a conversation of some of the ones in their high school. You know, you got Brandon Jennings, you got Beasley, you know, there's a lot of, like, elite ones that in high school, you know, ran the country.
Yeah.
Whether it was, you know, they played for Nike or they played for Adidas, but they ran the country. So who are some of the people, you know, that you saw and you wanted to be like, I need to see him one-on-one type thing? You know?
Yeah.
Especially in your era. Even guys that might not have made it to the league.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember I was eighth grade. I seen O.J. Mayo for the first time, him and Billy Walker. I was in eighth grade. They was in seventh grade, and they was dunking easily. And I couldn't dunk yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, these, and then you just hear back then, you know, and the internet wasn't what it was now, obviously. So you wasn't really, it was all word of mouth you was hearing these dudes. So the legend behind these dudes at ninth, seventh, eighth grade years, you know, and then seeing them dunking in the lane, over top of dudes, moving that way,
right.
Them two really.
Seventh grade is crazy, yeah. That's
wild. And I played with Mike Beasley since we was 8 years old,
right.
9 years old. So I seen how good he was early on, so we pushed each other. But Ty Lawson probably is the one that really Ty, I played against Ty when we were in eighth grade.
He used to go to the academy tournament every year just to see Ty Lawson.
Bro, Ty Lawson is the fastest player I ever seen with a basketball in his hands. With my own eyes, he was the fastest one I ever seen. Him and Derrick Rose, but he was faster than Derrick Rose with the ball in his hands, and he can make any layup. Like in seventh grade, he was playing like a pro.
Right.
And he was big and strong, and I was like, I got to just get better.
Mm.
Because these dudes is just like bigger, stronger. They can move a little better than I could when I was, because I was short in eighth grade. I was six, not short, but I was 6'2". Like, sure. Then I shot up to 6'8", my sophomore year in high school. So, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was playing a guard, so I was inspired by guards. You
exactly,
know what
that's
mean?
What
so,
they, yeah.
You know, so O.J. Mayo, Ty Lawson, dude named Taylor King, he was cold. Mm-hmm. He was tough. Yeah.
Right. That whole
he committed spot. To Duke in like eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And he was 6'8", 6'9", shooting threes. He was tough. He was a white boy out of Cali. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a big tournament in Memphis when I was like 13, big AAU tournament. First time I really seen all these players that were elite.
Right.
And that shit opened my mind and like, all right, I got a long ways to go for one, but it's bigger than my block. Because mm-hmm. I was right. like, I was the best dude in my neighborhood, at my rec center, and mm-hmm. that's all I was thinking about because I wasn't going nowhere else. I was mm-hmm. just playing around that area. And then when you go outside your state, you see other people that's doing it at another level, and they look different,
talk different.
Mm-hmm. Then you start to humble yourself a bit and get back into that gym and lock in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's talent everywhere, bro.
Shout out to my dog, DJ Augustine, man. You know, I went to after Katrina, he actually transferred to Hightower.
You was at Hightower with DJ?
I was at Hightower, yep. Yeah. Nah, yeah.
That's my
Hightower, we had sports.
Me and DJ got tight. As soon as we got on campus.
Right. I was gonna ask you, so what made you end up at Texas? What was the ultimate decision?
So I was like a late bloomer my first 2 years in high school. Like, people didn't know me much. Mm-hmm. So we went out to one tournament in Delaware. I started playing well, and this coach just, the coach at Texas, he's from my hometown. He just started recruiting me early. Mm-hmm. He stayed on me early, and I promised him I was gonna visit. But I wanted to go to North Carolina. Okay. That's where Ty was going.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
And me and Ty played together since we were in ninth grade, 10th grade. So I got to know him. So I wanted to go with him and a couple of my other homies that was going. But I promised them I was going on a visit. So when I went down there, I was like, oh, this hit.
Yeah.
My first time ever in Texas.
Mm. Awesome to do that, man.
I went on 6th Street.
Right.
I was like, yeah, this it.
Yeah.
I need to come down here. And then I was going to get all the shots there too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I had a very underrated player by the name of Damian James.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't a McDonald's All-American, but he was like right underneath that shit. He was a good high school player. So we knew he had committed to Oklahoma first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelvin Sampson, who's at Houston now, he had went to Indiana, I think. And so he opened his recruitment up, and we got him like last minute. And we needed him because we was playing all freshmen that year.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So we was a young team, and with him, that's when we kind of built that foundation. He stayed 4 years, leading rebounder in Texas. We had a nice career. Got drafted. Nah, that was a fun time, bro. But we talk about Aaron.
Dexter Pittman.
Dexter Pittman. We had another dude from Houston, Harrison Smith. He had transferred out though, but he's there when I was there.
He was my teammate overseas, crazy enough.
Where? Yes.
Harrison Smith was my teammate overseas.
Cam used to hoop, man.
H.
He put a couple pounds on since he used to hoop.
Nah, I really got integrated in the Texas culture, though, when I got down there. I had no clue about Texas and never been there. The day I graduated high school, that next day I had to go down there for summer school and shit.
Yeah.
As soon as I got there, I just got, like, Houston shit. I was already in the screwed up music and shit. My brother had moved to Kansas, so he was telling me about all the Houston rap.
Yeah.
And down south rap and shit. So I was a little bit into it. But once I got down there, you hear about Trader Truth, Zero.
Mike Jones,
mm-hmm. Big Pat, Fat Pat, Lil Keith, all these dudes. I'm like, man, it's a whole different world that I ain't know about down there. It's a whole different culture from anything else, unique to anything else, bro.
That's how I felt about the DMV, though. The first time, because I actually have family from D.C., but just pulling up for the first time and just hearing how y'all talk. The DC lingo is the craziest in the country. And just, you know, everybody wearing New Balances.
Mm-hmm. Nike boots, New Balances.
I still think DC has the best, like, not obviously not like the best dressed people overall. I just think as like a local fashion, I think the DMV just has the most original, you know.
Because we came up, it was all local streetwear brands.
Right.
We were like
Sabiato.
Sabiato, Hobo, All Days, Shooter Sports, Madness. It was like everybody, every neighborhood had their own streetwear, urban wear. sweatsuits. Yeah. We used to wear headbands. We used to
just like, different
print on shirts. Like we used to, Sabiato was the one.
That's when I got.
That's when you had to go down to Georgetown and f with the Italians to get that.
Yeah, I used to work at in Georgetown. What was that store? The sneaker store that was in Georgetown. Was it Major?
Majors. Major, yeah.
Ducky.
Ducky. I used to go there down there every week.
Yeah. To get this. And what was the other one? Like up against the wall, like that.
Up against the wall was a staple in every mall. We got our own culture for sure. It just never hit mainstream, and people never like.
Kind of, I kind of like that it didn't though.
Me too. You know,
it's very, it's a gem.
And get oversaturated or watered down by the corporate. Like New Balances was a thing. Like I wore Nikes, but like I always wanted New Balance. You know what I'm saying? Coming up and Nike boots and Tams. Like we just we wore shit like that. But when I went to Texas, though, like you said, it was just a, like how y'all talk, how y'all move, how y'all dress. Just the vibe was just like I need to be here. So. Russell Springman was a dude who recruited me. He had a head coach now at Oral Roberts. And he recruited me. But Barnes, like, I ain't talked to that man one time, probably twice.
You know, they be getting all the credit and stuff. They be like, you're really like the little assistant.
They be the assistants, yeah.
That really you pull up on you, practice with you, rebound for you.
But just, I mean, but once I got there, I understood why he moved like that, though, because as coaches, as college coaches, bro, you got to do a lot of bro, you're like the president,
right? Yeah, exactly.
And the team, so like these dudes, your GMs, they got to go get the players. While you got to go coach your team, get your dudes that's already on the team better. So he was one of them dudes that locked in that gym. Though he worked me out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he really was one on one, me and him in the gym. That's why I f- with him to this day.
That's dope.
He had a legendary street ball moment. So you're legendary on the court, but even off the court when you play basketball, you're legendary. He had like a very viral moment that I remember to this day. Yeah, I mean, dropped 60. Yeah, I mean, legendary moment. How did that make you feel? You know, to cement yourself in the, you know, not only street ball Hall of Fame, but just, you know, in basketball and like outside of it.
Yeah, it's crazy because going up there, I really just wanted to play ball. I wasn't really expecting to do like that. Like, I didn't know it was going to, like, I was going to score 60. I thought it was just cool for the night and like motherfucker gonna get over it. I didn't think it was gonna be
years, like decades later, really.
Yeah, I didn't think it was gonna be this moment that people really took to that like, the way they're doing it now. So like, I done hooped in plenty of parks before. Like I done had 60 in other parks before, and like, but when you just step in that Rucker in New York though, that's just a different environment. People hanging out their windows, on the fence,
and the heart of Harlem too. That shit.
And so. I had no clue it was going to turn into what it turned to. And that night was random as hell, bro. So random. Like, my man just called me the day before, like, yo, we just hooping, a few of us hooping at Rucker. I didn't know how big the game was going to be. Yeah. I didn't know who was going to be there. I was just like, I'm stuck in OKC. I ain't did. It's a lockout. I'm bored. I go to New York for the weekend, vibe out. I'm just thinking I'm going to go vibe out and party. That was my thought process when I'm on a plane. I'm like, I hoop while I'm there just to get some run in. And it just turned into that. And that's just, that was a memorable night. That's some like when I hit that last three and they all ran onto the court, I just had no clue what to do. I was just gazing.
And how old were you at this point? You probably was what?
23, 22.
Yeah.
I was 22. I was just gazing into the sky, like, damn, this is crazy. This is really it. This is what I wanted from basketball. Right. Is just that moment of just I hit four straight threes and the crowd loving that.
How much did like EBC and all of that really influence your game, bro. even as a professional?
Oh, it's all the tapes I watched as a kid, bro. Yeah. DVDs and one mixtapes. I watched all of them joints. So when you see, then I would see Kobe. Kobe was in, had played out there. Steve Francis had played out there. Lamar Odom. So I'm like, if NBA players doing that,
right, then exactly.
I got to follow suit. I wanted to be like them. So like, I had to do everything they was doing, you know? So I just wanted to see what it was like, man. And that was, I went to Dykeman. I went all up and through New York hooping. Throughout that lockout, just to hoop.
I know you was there for a short time, but how was the Seattle scene of basketball? I feel like they need a team back. I feel like that place is really sacred when it comes to basketball.
It is. It is. And They will have a team back for sure in the next few, in the next 5-10 years, and for sure have a team. They just got so many nice hoopers out there. It's just like all up the state of Washington, the whole state of Washington, they got players that played in the NBA, high-level college ball, been great high school players. They just for decades, they always producing players like Jamal Crawford, Nate Robinson, Isaiah Thomas, Marvin Williams. Now you got Paolo from Seattle carrying that torch. It's so many other dudes. I hate naming names because I can name go off of 20 names that that in touch the league from that area. So and that's just – and they just breed ball players. So they need that pro team so they can inspire – that can inspire – when you got a pro team in your city, that's just inspired next generation of hoopers to just want to hoop.
Right.
Because they see that in their city. They see it as attainable.
It's possible, exactly.
Yeah, possible. So
would you
like,
go to different parks around Seattle? I don't know. You weren't there for too long, but.
Yeah, I was just doing appearances with the team. And I was going to like Rainier Beach is where all these dudes went. So
Rainier Beach.
Yeah, we had an appearance there. Every year they got DeJounte Murray went to school. Like they got players every year that come out of that area in that little small community. And so, yeah, I was tapping in with everybody from there, the Brandon Roy's. You know what I'm saying? I was just out and around. Those dudes at every gym hooping, so I got to know most of those dudes. Mm-hmm. And if I'd have stayed, if we'd have stayed in Seattle, that would have been a crazy time.
Right. Even just the jerseys, man. We need them back.
We need them back, bro.
Yeah, for real. I think that's the best logo. The green and orange. Sonics, yeah, I think that's my favorite. So, now, obviously, you play for the Phoenix Suns now, but real quick, I just want to get into, you have a lot of eras in your career, like a lot of sagas.
Yeah.
Right, so you got, obviously, the Texas era, you got Seattle, OKC.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Golden State, now we're here. Do you have, like, a favorite moment or a favorite era of your career where maybe you just had the most fun with it? Or?
It has to be that OKC time period because it was like the entry point into to all of this, you know what I mean? That's like the foundation of everything. So we was young and we was playing against dynasties, you know what I'm saying? We was competing against the Lakers with Kobe when they won a back-to-back, Dallas when they won a championship, Miami with LeBron and D-Wade and all them. So that was the start of it all. And I think coming in early, all of us, James, me, Russ, Serge, we was all 22, 23. And getting thrown into the fire like that, that probably was the best
obviously time. Was everybody's favorite team at that time. That was y'all
three together. I didn't realize that until I got older that everybody, you know, guys is in their 30s now. Like, man, we grew up
for real.
Watching you dudes that's in their 20s. Like, man, when I was a kid, we was watching y'all. It's crazy. But, you know, and a lot of people, a lot of young people gravitated towards that team because they seen we was all young. So we was their team coming up. So that was it's pretty cool.
All getting drafted there, too, was a big thing. That was – y'all didn't try to link up. Y'all all got drafted.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we all came, like, consecutive years. It was me, Russ, then James, and Serge. And then we just kept building from there. And that probably was the most fun I had in the league. Like, everything else was definitely cool, though. But, like,
it was cool.
My first time experiencing something, you know what I'm saying, was with that. So that was it.
So mentally, how do you think – what's changed just from that point – up until now, just, you know, I see you putting on for a lot of the younger guys, a lot of young hoopers, a lot of young artists and producers. So what mentally do you think changed from those OKC days to now where you at?
I just think just that experience of, like, you know, winning and losing, all of that stuff, you know, having different teammates, coaches, that just, you know, gave me more experience, but more knowledge about the league, the business, the game itself, you know what I'm saying? And it's just – I've been in there for 17 years now, so that was 9 years of my career that, you know, we experienced a lot from going to the finals, winning every year. We had all-star game. I was experiencing all-star games, all-NBA. So, you know, I just think that knowledge that I gained throughout that time is the difference, you know what I'm saying? I just seen a lot.
So, obviously, well, you mentioned business, and we're sitting here with these lovely boardroom microphones in our hands right now. You're right. So, just break down just the whole creation of boardroom, why you wanted to do it, you and Rich's relationship, you know?
Yeah. I mean, me and Rich just, at first it was a manager-player relationship, and that just grew into having just a pure friendship. And throughout that, we just had conversations on what we wanted to do outside of the game. You know, I felt like I was established in basketball already, so I wanted to try some other stuff. And we wanted to tell stories, man, around the game, around the business of basketball, the business of sports. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to, you know, just kind of have a home for people to kind of look, you know, to take in that type of stuff, you know. So we've just been building, man. Aux Money is
come on now, Aux great Money, addition, Aux Moolah,
you know,
the biggest, man.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, man. To wrap things up, bro, appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Your lovely abode, man.
Fire. Anytime, man.
Right.
Anytime, man. Your brothers, welcome.
But no, appreciate you. We gotta definitely get a game in, bro. We gotta set up the private match, private lobbies.
That's one thing we gotta do next.
Yeah.
We gotta get. You said 150. I say 45. Yeah. Let's go research.
We all streaming at the
same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll mix it up how we mix
right,
it up.
Yeah. That could happen.
And we just cut up the highlights. Yeah. That'll be fire. Just drops little clips. That'd be fire.
Private lobbies. The lobby.
We need to get a little block in like 3 days. We get 40, mm-hmm. 50 dudes
that can really commit to this
time. Seven hours of just straight bump.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. I ain't trying to hit nothing. I got a meeting.
We bumping for a weekend. Right. We getting it in, filming this. Mm-hmm.
Just keep getting dubs.
Are you eating when this is happening? How does this go for 6 hours?
I don't know about y'all. Between every game, I put my mute and I go to the refrigerator.
Yes.
I might get like some grapes, some apples, whatever, some fruit.
You literally have like a timer.
It's like 50 seconds.
Yeah. It's about 50 seconds.
You know exactly when you need to get back.
And then sometimes, but the worst is when you come back and you already in the water somewhere. Somebody start punching your chin. You like, oh, my bad.
The best time when you come back, where we landing? And you
exactly,
right there.
Yeah, like, you thought you wasn't there? Word, man.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need to get that. We're gonna put that in. We need to get that in the airwaves.
Yeah, no, man. It's gonna happen.
50 dudes, whoever, 50 players, mm-hmm. three a day. We just run. Private lobby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you at.
Easy.
Do you have the PlayStation, the portable joint?
Nah, I heard it was fire though.
It's live. You just gotta have really good Wi-Fi for that. Cause it's going, so like when you turn it on, it's gonna turn on your PlayStation at the crib. So if your Wi-Fi not like great, it's gonna be like laggy and shit. It's cool though to like have you on the road. But
you play it? You used it?
I had it before. Yeah, it's cool. It's a double investment. Not for
duty. You gotta be locked
in. It's a little too small. But for like 2K and anything like Madden, you can definitely play on that. So. Dude, you gotta hear everything. Everything gotta be right.
I gotta hear the footsteps.
Everything gotta be. Even proximity chat, I need to know somebody else around, all type of
shit. Y'all use proximity?
I'll be on that. I'll be wanting to know. And I'll be talking shit. It depends. I'll be talking shit.
Nah, I'm gonna start filming to drop my clips, my highlights on the ground.
Yeah, man.
So,
let these know what it is, man.
Real.
Now we gonna set it up, man. KD, bro. Appreciate you. Love you, man. You already know.
No doubt, brother.
This is fine.